Successful college student athletes are often expert multitaskers, balancing a heavy academic load with all of the duties expected of a scholarship athlete in and out of season. To say that Denise Ford Shipman did it all during her career at Campbell University would be a vast understatement. On the basketball court, she's a three-time all-conference performer and helped lead the team to 80 victories, including one in the 1989 Big South title game. Off the floor, she was voted the 1988 Homecoming Queen, was a cadet in the Reserve Officers Training Corps, and commissioned as a second lieutenant in the U.S. Army upon graduation in 1989. After serving in the Army, Denise earned multiple master's degrees and has devoted much of her professional career to public education. She was inducted into the Campbell Athletics Hall of Fame in 2011, and this fall will be enshrined in the Guilford County Hall of Fame. My name is Stan Cole, class of 1987, and this is our next installment of Tales from the Creek, where we visit with the people who've made this place special over the years. I'm delighted to be joined today by Campbell Hall of Fame member Denise Ford Shipman. Welcome to Tales from the Creek, Denise, and thanks for taking time to visit with us.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you, Stan. I feel like I'm a celebrity already just from that intro. So thank you so much. But the story that you laid out, I'm already getting emotional before the interview starts, because it brought back like a lot of memories, a lot of hard work, and a lot of dedication, and a lot. So I'm just happy to be here today. I'm representing my Campbell Coach Watkins t-shirt today, just so I know she knows that I love her and that I just owe her so much of the success in my career and in my life, and just bring me to Campbell to trust in me, to trust that I was going to be a student athlete and just do the best that I can for the university. So I feel really honored to be here today. Thank you.
Denise, let's just start out at the beginning. Tell us about where you grew up, a little bit about your family, and how you got started in sports.
Oh, wow. I come from a very large family. I'm from Greensboro, North Carolina. I come from a family of, my grandparents actually raised me because my mother had me at a very young age at 16. They made her go back to school, and my grandparents raised me. So my aunts and uncles often call me their sister because they have to raise me while my mother was going to school. So and that was a family of eight plus another cousin that was being raised. So that was almost like 10 people of families that my grandparents raised. So I give my grandparents a lot of credit. And I don't want to get emotional about that because they really laid the foundation. My sisters, Tony, Felicia, they really, and my mom. My mother was very involved in my life as well. So I always knew who she was. And she always provided a steady role model for me. But those people that my grandparents really kind of laid the foundation for my life. My grandfather was,
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, my grandfather I come from a very athletic family. My grandfather played for the Black Negro League.
And
yes, for the Indianapolis Clowns. And he also played over in Mexico City. So he is in the Hall of Fame for track and field at North Carolina A&T. And I'm just like so proud of who he was as a man. And his name was Irvin Lee Ford. And they often called him, he actually played with Jackie Robinson. They actually call him a Thunderbird Ford because he was so fast. So the expectations of coming for athletics, and then the generation of his children, my uncles played professional USFL football. Glenn Ford, he was an All-American, played for Johnny Majors for the University of Tennessee. Early, my nephew plays for Detroit Lions, DJ Reader. So we really, and his mom played softball at the at North Carolina A&T, and I had an uncle that played football. So all of those people, all of my uncles and aunts, they lay the foundation for us as athletes and to be student athletes. And I think my father, my grandfather, invested a lot of time in athletics because he knew that that had the ability to change the trajectory of our life, to be a student athlete and to be successful. So he invested a lot of time with us with athletics. And I think, too, it gave him a sense of pride because they then he had certain limits that, you know, he could do as a Black athlete. They weren't allowed to go to certain colleges, so they weren't allowed to, you know, maybe participate in certain leagues. So that gave him the motivation to say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to make it better for my generation of children.
Denise, how did you get started? Was it just rec league sports? Or
my first introduction to sports was in Whiteville, North Carolina, where my great-grandmother has a farm. And every year we would have to go and help with the farm every summer. She was entrepreneur. Even when I was a little girl, we had to crop tobacco. I had to drive the tractor in the fields. And it was a family event every summer that we would have to come and work the fields. So my introduction was by my uncle. His name was Uncle Charles. He actually owned the light pole in Whiteville, which is a very rural area. He put plywood and a hoop on the light fixture that was out in the field or on my grandparents' land. And I played basketball there. I was always dirty, always dusty, because you always just played on grass and dirt. So that was my first introduction to actual sports, was playing basketball with my uncle on dirt and with plywood up against a light fixture. Yeah, a light pole. So, and then my first organized sport was actually in middle school. And then we had junior high. So you started 7th, 8th, and 9th. And that's when I started playing volleyball, basketball, and softball. So I became like a three-sport athlete. And I think it just was, I love being around a team. I love engaging in instruction. I love competing. I was very competitive. And I just love being around sports. And that was probably because of my grandfather, Irvin Ford, because he would take me everywhere. He would take me to the softball games. He would take me to the football games. We would just travel all over the place. So, and I was just remember a little girl. And back then, you didn't even have to wear a seatbelt. So every time he would stop, I would fall forward in the dashboard because I didn't have a seatbelt on. But and then he finally said, okay, you know, you have to start wearing a seatbelt. And I was like, okay, daddy, let's go. So that's kind of like how my introduction to sports became. And then from there, went to Grimsley Senior High School, Go Whirlies. And I think I made my mark then, but I still had that competitive spirit of wanting to be part of a team. I mean, just having a family of 10, that's already is a sports. You have your sports. You have people who are going to play softball. You have your whole team in the backyard already. So, yeah.
Denise, in a conversation I've had with one of your former teammates, Antoinette Matthews, she revealed that softball was actually her first love.
Yeah.
But basketball was the one that kind of, provided the greater scholarship opportunity. She got to play both in college. Was basketball your first love, or was it just whatever was in season?
Actually, no. Basketball was not my first love. I actually thought I was going to go to college playing either volleyball or softball. Mm-hmm. And just so happened, Miss Clary. Do you remember Miss Clary?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
Miss Clary and Coach Addison, who was the volleyball coach, who had already coached all of my my brothers and sisters who came through said to me, she said, have you ever heard of Campbell University? It was my senior year. And we were just finishing up volleyball season, grade going to basketball season. And I said, I think I've heard of Campbell University. I've seen it somewhere. One of the students, Juan Austin, who is a basketball player, actually went to Grimsley as well.
Right.
So he is a good family friend. I knew he had gone to Campbell. So she said, well, I know during basketball season, I have someone who's going to come and see you. And I said, Coach Addison, who? Do you think I can play basketball in college? She said, we're going to see. So at that time, Coach Clary came over first. She actually came to a volleyball game. Mm-hmm. And I had an opportunity to talk with her after. When I tell you, it was like just like talking to a aunt. It was just talking to like a person who already was invested in you, a person who already cared for you and you didn't even know it. And she was still a stranger, but I still felt the connection. So I was like, okay, so Campbell. And she said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to get in touch with the coach. And it was Coach Watkins at the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have her to come and see you. I said, okay. Didn't know that Coach Watkins was going to come to one of our games. She showed up. And that's when I had my real first introduction to talking with Coach Watkins about it, about coming to Campbell. I was actually being recruited by UNC Wilmington and Lenoir Ryan College at that time. Mm-hmm. And my first and only visit was to Campbell University. And I remember I was telling my mom, Coach invited us down to come for an overnight visit. And I was telling my mom, and at that time, my mother, you know, if you didn't work, you didn't get paid. So wow. I said, Mom, I don't know if you're able to go with me. And she said, you do know I would never miss this. So my mom and I went down to Campbell, and she's never complained about not getting paid for that day or anything. And damn, I don't know why you're trying to make me emotional today, like bringing all these memories back. But she never complained about not getting paid for that day. And when I went to Campbell, it felt like it was just home. Coach Watkins, I met some of the girls on the team. I actually roomed with Antoinette my freshman year. So we were roommates. And when I tell you, she was a tornado and a force to be reckoned with. She and Regina Wadsworth at that time, they were a force to be reckoned with. And I remember remember Tanya Caldwell being on the East-West All-Star game. Mm-hmm. I went to see her play my senior year in high school. I was like, dang, I got to play against that? You know, so, and then Cindy Hicks, we actually played in the state championship against each other. And Coach Watkins actually came to that game. Fortunately, Grimsley won. We actually won, and I was, for that year, 1985, I was player of the year for the state of North Carolina for softball. But that was my first introduction to my own teammates and the class of students, of athletes that were coming into Campbell with me, Cindy Hicks and Tanya. So we had already had this type of competitive relationship outside before even we got to Campbell. And I was like, wow. These girls are tough. I better try to step up my game because they are coming. They coming to bring the heat.
Denise, you joined Campbell. You arrived at Campbell in the fall of 85.
Yes.
And it was Campbell's last season. And as an NAIA member, as the Big South Conference and transitioned all the women's athletics to the Division I level. What do you remember about those early seasons at the Division I level? And have you been able to share that with some younger folks now and say, you know, hey, it wasn't always like this with, you know, all the games on ESPN and things like that.
I tell people, I mean, even about my experience in being in Carter Gymnasium, when I see all these big gyms and all these student unions and the nice things that they have now, I was like, oh my God, like that would have been really nice to have that. But I always think there's a time and place for everything. So mm-hmm. Carter Dim was the place that nobody wanted to be. In a sense, the teams didn't want to compete with us in Carter Dim because you know it's going to be loud, you know it's going to be a lot of people, and you know we were going to be competitive. Mm-hmm. So other teams didn't want that. Even though they had fancier and they had bigger gyms and they had bigger things, but I'm not sure they had the level of commitment that we had coming to Campbell and understanding that we're here to make the university better and to form really a bond that we still have years later. And I can't even explain it. How you think you have your friends in high school, but your friends really develop in college for me. Mm-hmm. Like Tanya, we text each other. Tanya have been to the biggest things and the biggest events in my life. We were just at a wedding together. My nephew got married in Texas and she actually traveled there. So these are like people who have been part of my life forever. Coach Watkins, I still text her every now and then, tell her I'm thinking of her, I miss her, hope things are going well. Mary was very special. Wendell Carr, Mr. Scarborough, when we get to that conversation about Mr. Carr, Coach Carr, but they really formed the person that I was, that I am today. So Coach Carr was one of my favorite people. Yeah, he was. Wendell Carr was one of my favorite people.
Well, he had a great understanding being a college athlete himself at Wake Forest and then coaching in college before he became the AD at Campbell in 1974. Wendell and Susie, when I was an undergrad and working in the sports information office and traveling a little bit with the men's basketball team, I was on the bus with Juan a lot. They really treated me like I felt like I was part of their family as well.
Yeah.
In the summer times when I had to move out of the dorm, I put stuff in their house, so to speak. Chris, yeah. Their son Chris was a year older than me. And they just welcomed us. And that was a very, very special time.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about you've touched on it a little bit, but about Coach Watkins. What makes Wanda Watkins a Hall of Fame coach? And let's face it, she's a Hall of Fame person, right?
She really is. I do want to change that around. She is a Hall of Fame person, and then she's a Hall of Fame coach. And a lot of times you can't say that about a lot of other coaches. You may say they have a winning spirit. They're very competitive. But I think Coach Watkins just has the whole package. She had the whole package, and I felt that when I chose to come to Campbell. Now, she's going to make you hard, and she's going to tell you what you need to do to get better. And I think I appreciated that because she did it in a way that, Denise, you have to understand, you're an athlete, but you are growing up as a woman now. So even though you might have had certain things to happened to you or didn't happen to you in your lifetime, now is the time that you can flourish. This is your time. This is your time to be the, not to worry, but just to come to school and to grow as a woman and to enjoy college. Because, sometimes growing up in very humble beginnings, you worry about a lot of things. You worry about if your family is going to be okay without you, if your family needs you. She took the burden of all of that away from me and just told me to be who I am. And to the way that you're going to change your life is to come and do the very best you can and show up every day. And I'm getting really emotional about that because she really believed in me as a person. Because you can have any person to come to your university, but she believed me as a woman, as a person, and as a student athlete. And I would forget her for that.
And Wanda, of course, could relate a lot to your upbringing. You know, she shared with me when I visited with her about the fact that, you know, she grew up in the rural part of Johnston County, yeah. and her uncles had farms on either side of them. And if she wanted some spending money, she had to work all summer long. And I'll never forget, she said, you know, my first job was picking cotton, and you got paid by the pound.
Yeah.
And she said, and Stan, cotton didn't weigh much. Yeah. and exactly. so she understood.
She understood that. And I think she that resonated with all of us, as like she was the hardest working coach that I ever known. And she demanded, without you even knowing, she demanded the best of you. And you didn't even know that she demanded that. So I think, and I don't know if that's probably why I went into education, because I felt that students or children where I came from needed that. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's why I chose to go into the profession that I did. Yeah.
Denise, we talk about memories. We could go on and on and on, but you know, you have one special memory dealing with Coach Watkins, and people. I used to call it Wanda Watkins time, because on time was if you weren't 15 minutes early, you were late. In Wanda Watkins time, I believe you found that out during your career, didn't you?
Yes, sir, I did. Let me tell you. I have to take a deep breath with that, because that day probably I had to run through my mind like 1,000 times. Sorry about that. Okay. It was game day. We were playing UNC Wilmington at UNC Wilmington. And for some reason, I had procrastinated sending my mother some papers that she needed. And I said, okay, so I go to the post office, which is right beside Carter Gym, of course, mm-hmm. see the bus. I was like, okay, I got time. Of course, the day of, the post office is packed with a million people. Normally, mm-hmm. I go in and I'm out. And I was like, So I'm looking out the window. I'm like, okay, the bus is still there. By the time I got to the window, did my transaction, I come out and the bus is gone. So of course, you know, you don't have cell phones, you don't have like all of this technology that we do now. So I go back, like, I think I was just like, is this a dream? I just need to wake up. Where is the bus? So my first thought was, where did they go and why did they leave me? So I go back to the room. I call my mother first, and I'm crying, and my mom is like, what do you mean you missed the bus? And I was like, the bus is gone. How did you get here? Like, and I was explaining, I was just so upset. She said, okay, go back to the room, calm down. And she said, think it through. How do you get in touch with Coach Watkins? And when I get back to the room, we have our phones in our room. So Tanya calls me. Regina calls me. We're having lunch we've stopped and done. You have to get here. Drive your car and park it at the restaurant, and we'll just drive from there. Well, from what I understand, they were trying to get Coach Watkins to stop the bus so I could catch up with the bus, but I couldn't catch up with the bus. So I'm back in the room. I'm really upset. I call Coach Carr. And he said, Denise, hold tight, because we're going to get you to that game. I don't know how, but we're going to get you to that game. He called me back about 20 minutes later. He said, you're going to get on that bus with on that van with Mr. Scarborough. Okay. I was like, perfect. Have my uniform, have everything ready. Get on the van. Mr. Scarborough comes, and he doesn't have seats in the back of the van. So the entire ride down to Wilmington, I had to lay on the floor of the van because he has all his equipment. So it's nowhere else for me to sit. And I was like, okay. So I was like to myself, there's a reason why all of this has happened. I have to learn my lesson to like you said, being early is on time for Coach Watkins. So I get to the game. I thank Mr. Scarborough. Get to the game. Like, I'm still upset. I'm really angry with Coach Watkins because I'm like, how dare you leave me? Get to the game. Go dress. They were warming up on the court. I'm getting dressed in the locker room. Come game time, I didn't start. She didn't start me. And I was, so that made me more furious. And I was like, oh God, now I got to sit the bench the whole game. So she finally put me in with about 5 minutes left in the first half. And I'm still like, hey, this really just happened to me. So it was something that came over me and said, who do you think you are? You're no special than anybody else on this team. And I think that shook me into a place where, okay, get yourself together. It's time to play. It's time to play. It's time. It's game time. Get yourself together. And I think it was one of the best games I've ever played at Campbell. I think I had over 20 points and like 10 rebounds. But it was one of my best games, even like sitting there almost a half a game. And I thought to myself, after the game, she said, she apologized and she said, you know, I had to do that. And at the time, I don't think I really wanted to hear that, but mm-hmm. I understood what she was saying. Now that I'm older and I understand and I've been through things in my lifetime, I understand that one person is not the whole team. You have to realize that everybody follows the rules and you have a responsibility to do that too. So from there on, I was early for any game that we were going away. You better believe that, Stan. So I don't know. I just, I think I admired her for that because it taught me a lesson that you're no bigger than the team. The team, this is your team. This is our team, but no one's bigger than the team. So everybody has to abide by the rules. So yeah, that was mind blowing for me. That was something I'll never forget about Campbell. But it also shaped me into realizing that you're a team player. You have to lead your team. And if you come back angry and upset and not ready to continue to be a captain or to lead, then they're going to be looking at you like, oh, so you think that you're better than everybody else. So it was a hard lesson for me, but it was a great lesson. And from there on, I really admired her for taking that stand.
Denise, you came along at a time, and it's hard to compare eras, but three of your teammates, Antoinette Matthews, Regina McKeithen, Tammy Brown.
Yeah.
And you, are, of course, in there yeah. as well, are some of the best front court players ever to play for Campbell. Antoinette was an All-American. Regina and Tammy were Big South Players of the Year. You were a big three-time All-Conference, All-Tournament, and the MVP of the conference tournament. And I'm just going to go out and say it. The only reason you weren't a four-time All-Conference and All-Tournament player is because you weren't in the Big South your freshman year.
Okay. I'll take that. I'll take that. Thank you for that. Okay.
Let's if you don't mind, just a couple of brief thoughts of each of them. First, NAIA All-American Antoinette Matthews, your roommate your freshman year, and somebody you had to go up against every day in practice, right?
Let me tell you, my experience in practice with Antoinette and Regina, you had open court. Yeah, open practice. It really was a practice, but it mm-hmm. wasn't a practice. So Coach Watkins would come through the gym and we would see, but we had to be there at a certain time. So we were just playing a pickup game, and Antoinette and Regina, I go up for a rebound. When I tell you, I don't know if I blacked out or something, but here comes Antoinette just out of nowhere. When I tell you, I feel like this is now, I'm just a freshman. I'm just, coming into the September, we playing pickup. I'm like, I needed to get my weight up. I needed to get my strength up. I needed to just do a lot of something. She came out of nowhere and just knocked me up against the bleachers. And I'm like, where did this chick come from? But then she came over to me, put her hand out and picked me up. I was like, okay, so this is what college is like. So that was my first real experience at a pickup game where understanding the strength and the athleticism of Antoinette. But not only that, she was a great leader. Like, she was like a big sister with being a senior and me being a freshman coming in, not knowing anything. You know, you think you know everything, but you don't. Not until you get to college. Because high school and college is a whole entire different type of athletes that you're going up against. But I knew that if I could compete every day with Regina, Tammy, well, Tammy wasn't there at that time, but if I could compete with Regina and Tree, I could play with the best of them.
Tell us a little bit more about Regina, the 88 Big South Player of the Year.
I tell you, this Regina, I don't know if anyone knows, she is a jokester. She loves, she is a very happy person. She loves to joke. Regina is, when it's game time, she's serious and she wants you to step up your game. And she would tell you, you know what, you off tonight. So you need to play better defense. So and you're like, how you gonna tell me I'm off tonight? But she was right. She was right. And you respected that, the fact that as a captain, she would tell you, you know what, maybe you need to pass the ball more and you just rebound and play some defense and get under the basket. And she always wanted the ball. Always wanted the ball. So we would fight for a position to the post, the high post. And she was like, you know, you go over that way. Now, this is during a game stand. Like, go, you go on that side. I was like, I finally had to say, you know, enough is enough. So I had to be faster than she was to get to the post or the side that I wanted to get to. But she's just a jokester. I love her. We still keep in touch. Just an overall great person, great mom, great wife. Yeah. A superstar athletic. These girls on a different level, I don't know how other teams miss them, but I'm sure, I'm so happy they did. I had the opportunity to play with them and to get to know them, and we still have a friendship.
And then when you're a junior, mm-hmm. here comes a freshman from Fayetteville named Tammy Brown.
Yes, she's coming.
Who over her 4-year career set the school scoring record, and that still stands. Tell us a little bit about Tammy.
Let me tell you, Tammy was the hardest working person I know. She knew how to use her size to her advantage. I'm like, okay, we knew who were being recruited. And when you speak with her, she's like, this nicest spirit that you were like, okay, is she competitive or she's just the nicest person? But when she got on that court, it's like she turned into a different person. Like, she turned into beast mode, and she was ready. She would not ever back down from any competition. None. I admired that about her because she was very instrumental with us winning the 1989 Big South Championship. And I think as I remember, Tammy started, she was on fire for that game. So they had to adjust their defense to guard her, which really opened me up for a lot of things. But Cindy Hicks came out on fire. Tammy came out on fire. Susan was hitting threes. And so Radford really had to bring their defense out. And that kind of opened the post up for me to get the ball more and just to try to do what we did. And that was, we were ready to play. We were ready to play against Radford. I think Radford had this I don't want to say privilege, but they had beat us a couple of times, several times. So I think they just thought it was going to be another day.
that was turned out to be the third time of six straight. The first six Big South Conference championship games were competed between Campbell and Radford. And this was the first time the Camels came out on top.
Yeah.
After double-digit losses, what made that 1989 game so special to y'all? Because y'all came out, you weren't the favorite. It was on Radford's home court. They were the regular season champion. What stands out still here, this, you know, four decades later, almost about that?
What stands out to me? I remember my grandfather, because it was snowing that game. It was like Radford got a lot of snow for that game, and normally my grandfather would come to the game. My sister Felicia would bring him to the game. But because of the weather, they weren't able to come. So I called my grandfather and I said, we were talking. And of course, he had every, like, one, two, three, every point he wanted to for me to work on during the game. But so I'm like, okay, here we go, Dad. Okay, so we were talking. And the one thing that he asked me, Stan, that I really hadn't thought about, he says, before we hung up the phone, he said, do you think you can win? And I had to really like pause for a second. And I said, well, Dad, you know, they kind of like beat us a couple of times or several times. He said, but I didn't ask you that. I asked you, do you think you can win? And I said, being the confident person that I've always tried to be, I said, yes. He said, well, just go out and do it. So that's what resonates with me the most at the beginning of the game. But during the game is that I remember the girls on the court, Stephanie Howard, Karen Bowles, they had these things that they were called Showtime. When they're in a good flow and they're shooting the ball well, they would always say Showtime. So after 3 years of competing with them, Tanya, myself, we already knew what they meant. That means it's about to be a blowout. We're about to beat these girls. And Coach Watkins called a timeout. And I don't think we ever told Coach Watkins this story, but she called a timeout. And then the girls, after she said what she needed, we regrouped. So I said to them, I said, you hear what they're saying, right? So don't pay any attention to it, because it's time now for us to run them. And from that day on, Cindy Hicks came out on fire on that baseline. And like, again, that just opened me up in the middle. And Susan, again, hit some big threes. I think Susan, she was a freshman at that time. She was my buddy, too. That was because we always had a buddy. Susan was my buddy. And I know that was a lot of stress for her as a freshman. But she handled that like a champ. And I said, it's time for us to run these girls. And we came out and we just were on fire. And at halftime, they came back within two, but they never took the lead. And we expected that because they're a great team. They were well coached by Coach Curtis. So we expected that. But we didn't run out of, we just didn't run out of gas. We just said, we just got to keep going, no matter what mistakes. And then Alicia Bumpus, if you remember her, she had a big game. I think she only had about 8 points, but those 8 points during that game was like real critical times for us. And I remember at the end of the game, I think it was about a minute or two, I was at the free throw line. I made the first free throw, but I missed the second one. And then Alicia got fouled. She came and made both her free throws. And I think that put us up about 3 or 4 points. And that's how we won the game. But it was certainly a team effort. And for some reason, at the end of the game, again, I'm just like, we just won. I just told my grandfather. Don't ask me how he popped up in my mind. I just told my grandfather that we could win this game. And we just won this game.
And that team effort highlighted by your 25 points, 9 rebounds, and MVP performance. I know you're not going to bring that up, but I'm going to make sure that's in here for the record.
Oh, my goodness. You didn't have that. I just remember that just being a team effort. Like I said, if they hadn't came out on fire, that wouldn't have opened me up in the middle. to have the success that I did with the points.
Denise, you touched a little bit about your relationship with Tanya Caldwell. Like you, Tanya has spent much of her career after she got out of coaching devoted to public education. Tell us about how y'all became such good friends and have stayed that way through the years.
Right. Well, my first introduction to Tanya was at the East-West All-Star Game. She was, I think, an All-American. I know for that, she had to be really super athletic and talented at Clinton High School to be in the East-West All-Star Game in Greensboro, which was a big deal. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to get selected for that. But just seeing the person and the caliber athlete that she was on the court, again, I was like, wow, they are coming to play. So our freshman year, we just became like this close-knit family and community with each other. In fact, Tanya was my roommate from my sophomore year to our senior year. So we still call each other roomies after all these years, but she's my sister. And I've just always admired her as a person, as an athlete, but just the kindness and the example of being a leader, because Tanya is a leader. She always has good things. She is an encourager. She always has good things to say about people. And she's just my sister, and she's going to be my sister forever. So again, we just did a Whittell wedding together out in Austin, Texas. So she is a family member. In fact, my family probably call her more often than they talk to me. So yeah, Tanya is just a special person in my life. Well, always be, forever and ever and ever and ever. Yeah.
Our guest today on Tales from the Creek is former Campbell standout and Hall of Fame member, Denise Ford Shipman. Denise, not only were you an all-conference, conference term MVP basketball player at Campbell, you're also voted homecoming queen during your senior year, and you were commissioned as a second lieutenant in the Army through the ROTC program. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about what drew you to the ROTC program, and share with us a little bit about what your life looked like as an ROTC cadet on a daily or weekly basis throughout the year.
Stan, I will tell you that was probably some of the hardest years that I've ever had as a student athlete, as a cadet. Not only you have the rigor of being a student athlete, but now you add on getting up at 4:30 every morning to do PT, which is physical training, and to start your day off running 3 and 4 miles already, and then going to class all day, and then coming back to your dorm and having to be part of the ROTC and go to basketball practice. So I've had many days that I thought that I wasn't going to make it. And the reason I got involved in ROTC is because her name was Lisa Wilson, is still one of my best friends. She's actually retired as a lieutenant colonel. So she stayed in many, many years. But she asked me one day, what are you going to do after college? And I was like, not sure what I was going to do. So that really got me thinking about, because we didn't have the WNBA. We didn't have, if you were going to play basketball, you had to go overseas. And I think Regina actually had the opportunity to go overseas to, if I remember, Germany, to play basketball. So I was like, okay, I got to have a plan. I can't go home, be a burden on my parents. I got to have a plan after college. And that's what you did. You didn't go back to your home thinking like, okay, what am I going to do? And when I get there, I figure it out. I had to figure it out before I got there. So joined ROTC, got commissioned, and I was stationed at Fort Bliss, Texas. Went to Don Huron, Desert Storm, Gulf War, and came back to Fort Bliss. And I think about 3.5 years later, that's when I decided to get out and to go back to school and to pursue my career as an educator. But being a cadet a student athlete, it was really hard work because of your time. The time management is incredible. You didn't have a lot of time to hang out with friends. You didn't have a lot of time to, do what other people were doing on the weekend. So I think that it was just a sacrifice that I knew if I was able to get through it, then it would change my life. Yeah.
Denise, I'm curious here, the summer before my senior year, I did an internship, worked about 20 hours a week, but also had plenty of time to have a whole lot of fun. Summer before your senior year looked a little bit different, didn't it? Did it not?
Yes, it did. I actually went to my senior year. I went to airborne school. So I am airborne. I jumped out of airplanes. Don't ask me why. I know I'm crazy now. But I went to airborne school, and I also had to go to ROTC camp, which is what you do before you get commissioned. You have to go to camp for, I think it was at that time, like 6 to 8 weeks. But we were in the field. We were reading maps. We were leading. We were doing a lot of military things that brings back a lot of memories. So we were just doing, I'm sure the average student athlete was not doing a ROTC camp in the woods in Fayetteville, North Carolina, trying to figure out how to set up an ambush or figure it out, like how to set up do a recon in the field. So yeah. But it taught me, having to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and run 5 miles or do a 4 mile hike with like 50 pounds on your back. So after I think about it, I'm like, wow, you just do those things. You just did it. You don't really think about what you're accomplishing at that time. I just knew that in my heart, I needed to make a future for myself and for my family. So.
Denise, I'm one of those people that the only way I'm jumping out of an airplane is if I have a parachute on my back and the plane is going down. Part of your responsibilities were jumping out of an airplane that was going to land somewhere else.
Yes, at some temporary time. Right.
What goes, we've seen the jumps, the big jumps here, just down the road from us. The demonstration teams that come in here, but what goes through the mind of a young college basketball player when all of a sudden you've got to jump out of a moving airplane at something like 2,000 feet?
I'm crazy. Like, why did I sign up to go to airborne school? I'm crazy for believing I could do all this as a 19-year-old, as a 20-year-old, like, what am I thinking? What are you trying to accomplish in life? And I go back to what Coach Watkins said, that if I came to Campbell, he was going to change my life. And it did. So, but she also wanted me to be the best person that I could be. And I think it just always goes back to everything she instilled in me, everything that my grandparents, my mom, my sisters, everything that they instilled in me, like, okay, you go into college, you're going to have to make the best of that for yourself to make a better life for yourself. You know, coming from a big family, you have some people who are able to make a breakthrough, and then you have some people that you may lose. And I've had a combination of all of that. So I wanted to be the best person for myself, and I knew that it would be a small sacrifice for a big game. And today I see that came to fruition. I see that why God had me to go through all of that, not understanding how I was going to get through it, but why I had to go through it.
Denise, it's no secret that there is a tight bond throughout the years of Campbell Women's Basketball alumni. What makes this group such a tight-knit bunch of athletes and graduates.
Yes, let me tell you, I think we're just strong women who care for other people. I think we have big hearts. I think we are competitive. I think that we have all come from similar backgrounds. Like, we've all worked hard. We didn't have an easy life where we didn't have to work, or we didn't have a family that needed us. So I think, in a sense, that bonded us, because even with Tanya, like us sharing our stories and listening to Mary, she's working at a young age at McDonald's, and although we were athletic, but we also knew the value of hard work. And I think that's how you bond. I think you bond because you place that person in your shoes, and that person has walked your walk. So, and if you guys are all walking in the same direction, sooner or later you're gonna be together. You're gonna form as a team. And I think that's what we did. And we had a really strong bond of caring for each other. Like, we didn't talk about each other. We didn't say, oh yeah, you deserve that. No, we said, okay, if my sister is down, then I'm going to pick her up. And that's the way it is. And I remember, if you remember when I said Tree knocked me down during the pickup game, she went to pick me up. So I knew that I was in the right place. I knew that I was in the right place at the right time.
Denise, I remember working at a Campbell women's basketball game in Carter Gym the night that the war started in the Gulf. But you ended up right there. Yes. What was that like in your military experience?
Oh, man. I think you don't have time to really, like, realize where you are. I think all the training that you go through, all of the staying up all night, the maneuvers, the training, the expectation of you being a leader, and your troops are depending on you. You don't really think about that. And I've always felt that as a Black officer in the military, a Black woman, mm-hmm. that I've always had to prove myself. I've always had to prove why you should follow me. So I don't think it was a lot of thinking. I think it was just a lot of doing and a lot of, okay, you have to lead from out front because people are depending on you. It's not like a basketball game. You lose a basketball game, you live another day. But you go to war and you lose a life, and that will affect you for the rest of your life. So although I carried a lot of my leadership skills into being an officer in the military, I also realized the seriousness of where we were at that time, and mm-hmm. how important it was for me to lead my troops. Yeah.
Denise, what made you decide to turn your focus from a possible career in the military and get into education?
I wanted to let people know, if you come from humble beginnings, it doesn't matter where you started. It's where you finished that counts. So I wanted other kids like myself to see, if I could do it, you can do it too. And that gave me the spirit of going into education. And I also had very good examples, Coach Watkins, Mary. I knew Tanya was going into education. And just naturally, people, birds of a feather flock together. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they were my backbone. They were my support. So I knew that, you know, like I said, we had the same type of journey together, that education would be the right fit for me.
Now, share with us a little bit about your family. How did you and Rodney meet?
Oh my gosh. Stan, you can't tell anybody the story. My mother
is being recorded forever.
We can't tell anybody the story. They're going to think we're cousins. My mother remarried. And I just got out in the military, and my stepfather invited me to a family reunion in Whiteville, North Carolina, where our families kind of grew up together anyway. Mm-hmm. So I met him at a family reunion. So he's my stepfather's cousin. So people in our family tease us about being cousins, but we're not cousins. So I met him at a family reunion. From there, I knew that he was the type of man that would be a good partner for me. He is a man of integrity. He is a hard worker. He is like my best friend. He's my boo. Don't tell him that, but he's my boo. So we've been married for 27 years now and 3 kids later. So he's my best friend now. He is my best friend. Now, some days I'll be like, okay, I don't know what's going on, but he is my best friend. So he knows what I'm thinking. He knows what I'm going to say. He knows when I'm sleepy. He knows when I'm tired. He knows everything about me.
Denise, not only was it just 3 kids, but it was 3 boys. Did you take them out back and show them how to box out or how to defend?
Absolutely. In the backyard, we played baseball in our backyard. My boys played flag football, contact football. They played all 3 sports. We started off with soccer because of the footwork. And then they played baseball. Fortunately, Bryson went to East Carolina playing rugby for their club team. And Byron, fortunately, had a scholarship to the College of Holy Cross, where he was a wide receiver there. And he just graduated last December, living in Texas, doing his own thing, living his best life. Bryson is planning to go back to school to work on his graduate degree while he's working part-time. And then our other son, Brandon, lives in North Carolina. He's working. So, like, the circle of life is happening. So all those times where I thought to myself, there's a reason why you're doing all of this, to change the trajectory of your life. This is it right here. Like, this is it. I see it. I see your kids going to college. I see, you know, they're working hard. I see all of that. I see all the sweat and the equity that you invest in your children. I'm seeing how God is just bringing it forth. And now I understand. Because a lot of times when you're going through certain things, you don't understand. But you understand when you get older. And then you see how it all just becomes like just one purpose.
Your family is settled in New Jersey. Tell us a little bit about your job and your responsibilities now.
Okay, so I work for Plainfield Public Schools. It is no other place that I'd rather be. I've been here for 27 years now, and I am the executive director for student services. So I have all the support services under my department, special needs, family liaisons, professional school counselors, social workers. So all of that cohesiveness to make sure that we service our kids. We want to make sure that when a kid comes to school, that they have everything that they need to be successful. Maybe they need some counseling. Maybe they need, maybe they just need uniforms. They just need a mentor. We make sure that all of those holistic services are surrounded around our kids. So they have no barriers and they have the ability to come to school and to be the greatest individual and student that they can be.
Denise, it's been 15 years ago. It seems like it was yesterday. You and your classmate, Brad Childress, were inducted into the Campbell Athletics Hall of Fame. This September, you'll be inducted into the Guilford County Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Tell me what these honors mean to you.
Oh, my gosh. I think, I don't think I can really give it words right now. I think for my family to see me inducted at my kids, especially at Campbell in 2011, that was like all the hard work that you did while you were in Buies Creek and the hard work and the tears and how your body felt like it was about to break down and you still had to go to practice. And no one knew that. I think sometimes it's like that iceberg. You see the top of the iceberg, but you don't see all the hard work that goes into everything you've done. And for all of that to come together, for Campbell University to recognize that, that she was worthy of this, it makes my heart really just explode of gratefulness and joyfulness and yeah, that it was all worth it. And Gifford County, for that to happen in my own city, after all of these years, for them to recognize me and to be inducted with a lot of the great Curly Neal, Glenn Ford, who is my uncle, who was already inducted. It's really, yeah, it's a full circle moment. And I think about all the hard work that comes into that. And people see that in your own city where you live. And that makes you just feel special. That makes you feel special. So, yes, for me, it's special.
Finally, Denise, can you put into words how Campbell University and the Buies Creek community have impacted your life?
It made me a stronger person. It made me believe that God is ahead of my life and that he has a purpose for everything that we're doing in life. And don't ever take it for granted that he does not have you where he wants you to be. So, and I know that after I graduated and I've never had that cohesiveness again from being on the basketball team, you have closeness, but do you have the closeness that you had as a student athlete and being with your teammates? And I don't think I've ever experienced that outside of my family since I left Campbell. But the great thing is that I had the opportunity to experience it. So I know what it looks like. I know what it feels like. I know how to give it to other people. I know how other kids that are student athletes deserve to have that same type of feeling that I did. And again, that's probably why I went into education. I coached JV basketball for a while in Greensboro. So it was just became a part of me. Greensboro is a part of me. That's my history. That's my birthplace. And I'm just so grateful that they're recognizing that too. Yeah. So thank you, Stan, for that. Stan, you're about to make me cry the entire interview. You're going to make me cry the whole time.
I promise you, that is not my intent, but sometimes it just comes out.
Yeah. What did I tell you? You do a good job. You make people feel very comfortable and able to just share those secrets those stories that nobody else knew. Nobody else knew. And so you, Tales of the Creek, is a really good name for your podcast, because those are the things that you don't often get to share.
I'm Stan Cole, and our guest today on Tales from the Creek has been former basketball standout, Campbell Hall of Fame member,
I love Denise, you, Campbell
Shipman. Thank you, Denise, for sharing your Tales from the Creek.
Yay, Stan. I love you, Stan. Thank you. Thank you so much.